Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out Five Reasons YouTube. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. Alex Dono has a show every single day on all the South Florida sports. And FiveReasonsSports.com. Spell that one out. Get the latest takeaways from Brady Hawk, Aiden Gallardo, and others on all of the teams in town. Also, check out our great sponsors. That includes our friends over at U-Brake Wheel Fix. This is the wheel repair, refinish, and custom wheel specialist. They're in North Miami. They just moved to a new, bigger location. So check it out on the website at U, that's the letter U, brakewheelfix.com. That's U-BrakeWheelFix.com, 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. They can do the custom wheels and tires for you. They can fix those wheels. They're damaged from curb rash, cracks, and bends on the streets of South Florida. They do the polishing as well. So check out U-Brake Wheel Fix. That's the letter U, brakewheelfix.com. Changing the way that you see wheels. Mention Five Reasons. You'll get a discount. Give a call to Mark and everybody over there. 305-748-0112. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Today, we're going to talk about the front court players other than Bam and kind of what the futures are for all of them. We will do a Bam episode. I wanted a little bit of a break from it because I feel like we talk about it on every single episode. So we're going to give a little bit of time for that to kind of flow over as we just did an episode about Jimmy Butler and finishing the Jimmy Butler build. We also have episodes about Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, Pat Riley. They're all up there. So if you've missed in the past week or so, you can go find them. All right, let's get to it though. The front court players, we're going to go through them all quickly. What the expectation is on all of them. And a couple are kind of borderline front court players because they play all over the place. But let's start number one with PJ Tucker. Greg, what is the expectation for PJ Tucker this offseason and what should the role be for him?
So PJ Tucker goes into the summer with a player option. He made $7.35 million last year, and he has a player option for another $7.35 million. He obviously outplayed his contract last season. There's a couple things he can do, which is interesting for Miami, and hopefully it's the first example and not the latter. He can opt out of his $7.3 million player option, and just by virtue of his years of service, he gets a percent increase that would increase his salary. Essentially, he'd get about $1 million, close to $1 million raise, around $8.2 million or so. That would be a way that he could get a slight bump in salary, maybe another year added onto the contract. And he doesn't, it doesn't involve Miami having to spend any of their exceptions. In the event that he thinks he's worth, or the market dictates that he's worth more than $8.2 million, and a team is willing to give him a long-term deal at the mid-level exception, which it appears as if that's going to start out just a shade over $10 million, then Miami would be forced to use their exception money in that case, which hard caps them, and it would strangle them in other ways, which we were going to get into a little bit later in terms of like how this needs to play out so they can avoid certain things that will restrict their movement. So that's the decision for PJ Tucker. My expectation is that he does opt out and that he does take that slight raise, still stays in Miami, is a key cog of all of this, as Pat Riley called him in the presser. And I would imagine that they'd be willing to keep PJ around as long as he's willing to play. So he may get a little bit of the UD treatment in these final years in Miami. That's just a hunch on my part.
But Alex, is there a limit? Because, right, I mean, Milwaukee decided not to bring PJ back. Okay. So is there a limit? Is there a price that you, I mean, I know there's a love affair between the two parties, but he opts out and he wants more than just the minimal raise. I mean, is there any scenario where they let him walk?
I mean, if there is one, it's very, very, very unlikely from everything, you know, that they've talked about all season. And I know what they say, you know, in post game press conferences isn't necessarily, you know, the Bible for them. Like a lot of it is kind of playing defense against the reporters. You know, they're always on the clock, always playing defense. That's what the Heat do. It's very culturey. But as far as PJ Tucker, like, I really believe what they say. Like, I really believe that he's a perfect fit for them and that they really want to keep him. You know, when Pat, what did he say? He's a foundational piece or a core piece or something like that in that presser. Like, I believe all that stuff, you know, that they fell in love with him, all the things that had been said, right? I think he's a perfect fit. And I think as far as the limit stuff, like, I just think the worst case scenario for the Heat is he demands the full mid-level, which would suck. Like, you know, like we're going to talk about later, like Leif said, but for them, it's like, I think you got to match it. I think they're in a position where you got to match it. They don't have somebody to replace him. And we're going to talk about Caleb, who's been, you know, one of their other fours, but, and you know, we're going to talk about the four position going forward. I just think that he is somebody who, no matter how you look at it, has been an extremely impactful player for them, was in the regular season, was in the playoffs. I mean, just had a huge offensive season compared to what he did last season, you know, a lot more attempts and a lot more efficiency from the mid range, a lot more attempts at the rim. And I just think, like, he was really a two-way player for them. And he was one of the guys who's shooting, you know, relative to what he does, did not dip in the playoffs. Like, he was a 40% or 41% shooter from three in the regular season, 42 in the playoffs, you know, 3-4 attempts a game. But although we talk about wanting to add, ideally, another four to the roster, I think PJ is somebody who you have to keep, I think, no matter what.
Ethan, him and Jimmy were the only two, and I'm following up on something with you. Remember I said everyone on the roster caught a stray from Pat in the presser, except Jimmy? Jimmy and PJ were the only two that didn't catch a stray. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I would be stunned if he's not back. I really would. I think they will work this out. I think it's Jimmy's preference. I think the only question with PJ is, what's the role, right? Like, I don't know that you want him starting and playing 26 to 28 minutes a game this season. They have to figure out a way to alleviate that a little bit so he can be effective when it most matters.
It really seems like he wants to be here too. So that's why I just can't see it, you know, him walking at this point.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And does he really want to relocate again? I mean, the guy has moved around enough. I would anticipate that he's back. I think they will work out something that's friendly. I think it'll be a nice little press release from Pat Riley saying of how important PJ Tucker is. He's a quintessential Miami Heat player, blah, 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 blah.
What's important since Luol Deng?
No one was as important as Luol Deng. All right, let's get to the next one on our list before we get to one of our sponsors. We're going to save Caleb Martin for a little bit later because I think it's a longer discussion. Dwayne Dedmon, what do you think the chances are, Greg, that he's back?
I'm going to go, what was his jersey number?
What was his jersey number? How am I forgetting already? I don't even know. 21.
21% chance he returns.
Well, he's the greatest 21 in Heat history. We agree.
That's
on
for
that.
Sure. And that's the that's one thing he has going for him. No, he was falling behind. Yurt, I believe, is going to get the opportunity for the backup center position. There may be some competition there, but yeah, I think that the Dwayne Dedmon era may be over.
Alex, he really came out of the chute after a long layoff, right? And he was great for them, I thought, the season before. I mean, there were times in that four-game series in Milwaukee, you could argue he was their best player at times. He just never recaptured it this year, right? Like, there were moments, but not long moments. And then halfway through the season, you could do worse as a third big. I just don't think he's a second. I don't think he's a backup center anymore. Is that fair?
I think it's somewhat fair, but I don't know. Like, I think he was so solid for so long, and I think it looks bad right now because, you know, he tailed off towards the end. And I think anybody tailing off towards the end of the playoffs like that, it's just it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. So, look, if the one thing I will say is that I'm just trying to be fair to him because I think he was a really solid player for them, and I don't think he was, like, some bum who needs to be moved. Like, I think he could be brought back at, like, a veteran minimum type of thing as a backup if they can't, you know, grab any other fives in free agency, something like that. But I don't know. Like, I he's definitely not like a priority. I don't think so. If I had to guess, right? Like, I obviously don't know anything. I wouldn't, you know, guess that it's a priority to bring him back. And so I just think like in the playoffs, he looks slow, and you got to wonder if it's an aging thing or is it an injury thing? You know, if it is an injury thing, then it's more optimistic. Like, okay, you know, just get him back healthy. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at other guys ahead of him in their front court rotation next season. And I'm not even necessarily talking about Omer, because, you know, who knows if they bring in another guy there and what ends up happening there in the offseason. So whether it's Omer or not, I don't know what's going to happen with Dedmon. He definitely made himself a lot more affordable, and that really – that's not necessarily going to be a problem, because I just don't know that teams are going to be running at him in free agency when he looks so slow and not that good at the end there.
He's a good teammate. I think that that's fair. I think he put in good work here in the year and a half.
He was good for more time for a lot longer than he wasn't. I'll say that.
That's correct. I mean, the year before, we were comparing him to Chris Anderson in terms of impact, you know, guy kind of off the street. So he did good work. It's clear that they need to give Yurt more of an opportunity and bring in another big body there. All right. Before we get to a couple of the other guys here, we do want to tell you about a couple of our great sponsors. One of them is Better Edge. Check out BETTOREDGE.com/5reasons. That's BetterEdge.com/5reasons. You get $20 to play. This is peer-to-peer betting. This is legal. This is not the offshore stuff. And here's the other cool thing about it. You can play with your friends, but you can also find friends on there, and you can find people to take the opposite side of the line that you want. So if you like a certain team to win by a certain number, you can go there and find the opposite side of it. Check out the work that Sean Rochester is doing with Better Edge. It's BETTOREDGE.com/5reasons. We also want to mention Prize Picks. That's our official fantasy sponsor. Use the code 5, FIVE, and you get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You can play more than just the NBA, so check it out. Although the NBA obviously is still going on right now, at least for a few more days, go to Prize Picks. You can get it on Google Play Store. You can get it on the App Store. You can get it at prizepicks.com. Download it and just play. I mean, check it out. Again, use the code 5. You get your initial deposit matched up to $100. And again, you don't need to spend it all at once. All right, let's get this is probably going to be pretty brief, although I didn't think it was going to be brief. Markieff Morris was kind of setting himself up for a rotation role, and then the Jokic thing happened, and then things got weird with the team, and then there was a social media post, and there was all this other stuff, and then he came back and I thought he looked okay, and then he never played. Even when it looked like they could have used someone maybe as a mid-range spacer. So we don't think, no chance, right, Greg?
No, I think that rejection from Joel Embiid will be embedded in our brains as the final possession for Markieff Morris. And I would actually go as far as to say that there's a greater percent chance that his brother Marcus Morris is on the team next season than he is.
Wow.
Well, they've looked at him before. I mean, he's expensive though. It's a little bit of a different price point that we're talking about. All right. So let me go to the other guy then, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Cause I agree with you. I think that you saw in the playoffs kind of where they were with Markieff, when I thought they could have used someone like him. Oh man.
I was going to say, I could see him back on the vet minimum.
Can you, you think you want to be?
I don't know. He's always in Miami. He always works out in Miami. Likes all these guys. If his brother gets traded here, then
maybe it opens the door for him to then be the backup to Marcus Morris.
Yeah, and again, another guy who I don't know that people are going to be running out to pay. So,
no, that's fair. That's fair. It's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, I don't think he did anything necessarily to hasten his exit. I just think that, again, the playoffs tell. You needed a body. He was supposedly healthy. Eric didn't use him. I mean, that usually tells you. It's like Bielitsa the previous year, right? Like you know, you get to a certain point, you're like, okay, that's just not a guy that Spoelstra wants to use.
Got to win a title.
He may. Yeah, he's exactly. He's a champion. But well, maybe we'll see. As we pod, it's 2-2, but we'll see. I do think they're winning the series still, but I'll probably be wrong, and we'll go from there. So if you go to Better Edge, you can check that out. All right. So let's get to Yurt then, Alex, cause that's where I was going to pivot to with you. He's obviously going to be on the team next year unless he's thrown into a trade. What does he need to do, in your view, to carve out a rotation spot, which so many fans want him to get?
Well, that's a tough one and also an easy one, because the first thing I think of is, because it's tough to narrow it down to just one or two things, but I think the biggest one is what most people point to him when it comes to why he wasn't able to get that spot over Dedmon, was just kind of being able to stay out there on defense. Cause we know that he can get big rebound numbers. We know that he can get, you know, put up some numbers, getting pick and roll opportunities at the rim and kind of really making the impact there. But as far as defense, he's got to, you know, move a little quicker. And I think he has some lateral defensive issues there. You know, his agility isn't great. And I think as he grows older and he seems really professional and mature and all that, they seem to like him. He seems to like them from how it seems on the outside. I think it's somebody who they're just going to keep around and keep developing. Right. So I don't know. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform next season. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the front court rotation is still a little bit too full for him to carve out a spot, you know, just with everybody healthy, because I'm sure there will be times where guys are out and he steps up, and it's kind of similar to what happened last season. But I think he's got to step up defensively and just kind of round out his game going from there and, you know, make Spo be able to be confident when he's out there and not feel like, okay, now I got to really make up for it on defense, or now I got to go to a zone, or, you know, where he's on a leash because of his defense or anything like that. And I think he was really solid for them in the times that he played and when Bam was out. So I think there's a lot to look for there. I'm just trying to also just account for the possibility that he might not be able to get those minutes because of front court stuff that may or may not happen in the offseason.
Greg, how much do they like him?
From everything that I've heard, he's embraced everything that they do within the program. I mean, for UD to come out in the presser and say he may be the strongest dude that we have. Like, I bet when people were looking at him, they weren't saying that. Like, some people have actually made comments like, oh, he's scrawny, needs to put on weight, blah, blah, blah. Maybe he does obviously need to, the muscle maturity that comes with just aging, generally speaking. But for UD to say that, I think that they do like him. I don't think that he's anybody that they wouldn't necessarily move, but it's a guy that they recognized quickly had a unique skill set that could potentially work. I think that they believe in his jumper a lot more than maybe he's had the chance to show, just by virtue of that they couldn't have him deviate from the role that they had him playing in when he was out there. But ultimately, I think he's going to get a viable shot at the backup center spot and otherwise be included in a trade.
All right, we got one more guy to get to, and actually this is the most interesting conversation, I think, so we'll do that in a second. Before we do, I want to tell you where you get your premium CBD. It's therapistpreferred.com. We mention it all the time. Use that code 5RSN, that's the number 5RSN. You get your premium CBD, your gummies, your tincture, your sports cream, all of it at therapistpreferred.com. Use that code 5RSN, that's the number 5RSN, and you get 25% off. So go to therapistpreferred.com. The code again, number five, RSN, 25% off everything that they offer. Caleb Martin, to a certain degree, came out of nowhere. I guess J. Cole helped with this, recommending him to the Heat. When Brady and I were at the first scrimmage, we kind of noted right away, he just fits. Like, you can plug him in anywhere with anybody, and he looked like a back-end rotation player. I don't know that the Heat necessarily saw him that way. At first, he was a two-way. One of the best two ways, probably in league history, honestly, in terms of what he ended up contributing. He had the huge game against Milwaukee. He had other big games along the way. He replicated a lot of the things that Jimmy Butler did when Jimmy was not in, but his role was not as big in the playoffs. It was bigger than Derrick Jones Jr.'s was 2 years prior, but it maybe wasn't as big as we anticipated. So we know the skill set he offers. Greg, obviously he fits really well with Gabe and some other players. He can, again, do like a 75% facsimile of some of the stuff that Jimmy does. He seems to have more upside in his game. He's one of the few athletes on the team along with Bam. But it also feels like I don't know what the long-term role is. So I guess, and I know they like him. They like his work ethic. They like his confidence. It's kind of confidence without arrogance. Like, there's nothing not to like, except what is the role? Is he an eighth guy? Is he a ninth guy? And what is that worth paying?
I feel like he's an eighth or ninth guy that has the upside if he shows the bounce that he began to show towards the end of that run, but not necessarily as consistent as we saw it early in the season. Like, just go back to the Milwaukee game and watch what he did there. And there were many other instances where he rose up above, I think, the bounce that he had and his ability to dunk on people, just to be blunt about it, was something that I don't think any of us knew he had in him before he arrived in Miami. If he gets back to that, I think that he could be a rotation player in a playoff, on a playoff team, on a contending team. But you're right. Like, how much are you willing to pay? So this is what it boils down to. They structured Caleb Martin's contract in a very smart way, where for $2.2 million, they extend a qualifying offer. They can match any salary that he gets, essentially. But this is where it gets tricky for them, because if they want to spend the mid-level exception, or if they want to do the famous Andy Ellisberg special where they take the amount of the taxpayer mid-level, which is $6.3 million, and the amount of the biannual, which is $4 million, and split them, and then use them on two different players, and then they could they have some different flexibility when they do this kind of stuff. I'm not trying to go too deep into this mechanics right now, but essentially Caleb Martin would need to go out and get an offer in the $4 million per year range. That is the biannual exception for Miami to flinch. In my opinion, anything less than that per year, I think Miami would be open to bringing him back if it's on a 2 or 3 year deal, probably 3 year deal. So I think that that's probably likely. And I would expect, actually, Caleb has a route to be back next season.
Alex, is that what you would do? I guess just answer that. Would you bring him back on that?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're talking about splitting up the mid-level for him and one other guy, is that the, like, that scenario? I think that's probably worth it. Like you guys said, he's a very athletic player, and it actually shows up when it comes to steals percentage, blocks percentage. Like, he's in the 83rd percentile in steal percentage, 73rd in block percentage. And that's pretty crazy for somebody who was kind of an unknown player coming into the season, signed a two-way deal and ended up being an impactful player for them. And I think in the playoffs, you got to see that guys can get thrown in and out of rotation really quickly. That's obviously something that's been done in the past. And he was kind of one of those guys. I do think he's somebody worth bringing back as long as he doesn't get priced out. Like, I think if he starts, if he gets an offer somewhere else, that's, I don't know, somewhere near the mid-level, the full mid-level exception, and he'd have to match it or something. I don't know if that's the best idea, but I think he's somebody worth bringing back, because he seems like somebody who can actually be a two-way player for you. Although I will say the shooting definitely dipped in the playoffs. He shot really well, not only at the rim, but from three during the season. And I think it was 30% during the playoffs. Obviously, you know, he didn't have the consistent playing time to be able to get and stay in a rhythm and all that, but it definitely dipped a lot. So I understand maybe not wanting to pay him too much, but I would try to bring him back. Like, I think you need the guys who can do so much for you defensively, whether it's on the outside or in the inside, get rebounds, get offensive rebounds, make actual defensive plays, and get out in transition, because that was a big thing for them. He was part of their transition attack. So I do think they'll try to bring him back on a reasonable salary. And I think he'll probably have a lot of appreciation for, you know, what they've done for him as well.
All right. Caleb Martin, Dwayne Dedman, Markieff Morris, Omer Yurtseven, PJ Tucker. I think we're in agreement that Omer will be back unless he's thrown into a trade. PJ will be back because Pat Riley won't have it any other way. Caleb Martin likely back. Markieff Morris likely not back. Dwayne Dedman likely not back, which means that it's going to open up some spots. And we're going to talk about those on another podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Prize Picks, use the code 5FIVE. TherapistPreferred.com, use the code 5RSN. You Break Wheel Fix, check out the website with the letter U, breakwheelfix.com. And Better Edge, BETTOREDGE.com/5Reasons. Make sure you subscribe to our Off the Floor feed. Greg's been telling you, everybody that's working out with them, you're not getting this anywhere else. And like a month later, everybody else starts to report it. So check it out on our Off the Floor feed. I will post that on the 5 Reasons Twitter. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network.